Hi, my name is Stephanie. Hi, my name is Stephanie Benetti. Welcome to Second Sight NYC. It's August 18th, 2010 at 9 p.m. I'm here with Chris George, my co-host, Psychic Medium. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steph?
Fantastic.
All right. Are we ready for a great show?
We sure are.
Okay.
So, Chris, one of the questions that I get asked often is about free will, and I'd actually like to talk about this. So.
Okay. Well, free will, basically everybody has it. You know, when I give people readings, I always let them know that they have free will because I'm a seer. I see what's going to happen. And, for instance, if I tell somebody, you know what, I see a guy coming into your life in December, all right, and say it's January, that doesn't mean that you don't date anybody all the way to December looking for that person I told you about. It means you need to live your life, do what you're supposed to do. If somebody asks you out, you like the person, go out with him. You need to complete the steps to get to that December date. And you always have free will to change whatever's supposed to happen to you.
Fair enough. I think that when people get psychic readings, they automatically think, he said this, so it shall be done, kind of.
Right. Well, and you know what? A lot of times, to tell you the truth, it kind of is like that. But people have the ability to change anything. You know, if you're supposed to go left instead of right and you don't do it, things change. That final destination that you're getting to might take a month or two or a year longer to get to if you don't do the things you're supposed to do.
Okay, fair enough. So let's just, I know we discussed this last time, but let's just talk about how you got started and the beginning of this, just to give an introduction to people who don't know you or would like to get to know you.
Okay, well, it started when I was very young. I would see spirit roaming my house, and it kind of scared the hell out of me. I would talk about the spirits that I see, and my brother and two sisters would get very, very nervous. They didn't want to sleep in their rooms anymore. Before long, my mom and dad had four kids sleeping in bed with them because everybody was scared of what I was seeing. It got to the point where my father was going to actually send me to a psychiatrist because, you know, I must be crazy if I'm seeing spirit. And that's about the time when I decided, you know what, I'm not going to see spirit anymore. So I just kind of turned it off, and when it would happen, I would just kind of ignore it until it slowly just, like, went away. And then here I am, 13 years old, thinking I'm, like, this normal kid playing baseball and football and, you know, doing all the things normal 13-year-olds would do. And a few years later, I start seeing spirit again. Of course, it got me nervous, and I kind of turned it off again. And then when I went into the military, it started coming back, slowly but surely. And this time I really wasn't pushing it away, but I wasn't encouraging it. So it just happened sporadically. I would say it was 2001, I believe. I was in my living room, and it was my daughter's first birthday the next day. And I was on the phone with my cousin, and all of a sudden I saw a balloon starting to bounce around my dining room. And I saw the shadow of a heavyset woman who I knew was my mother-in-law. And I saw her actually bouncing that balloon, a happy birthday balloon, all the way around my dining room, and it stuck to my daughter's picture. It was my mother-in-law saying happy birthday to my daughter, and that's when all the floodgates opened. And then I started seeing spirit after spirit after spirit, and they just kept coming and coming. And it was just becoming overwhelming at one point. So I said, listen, you guys got to stop. And you want to know what they told me? No, we're not going to stop. Either you're going to accept who and what you are, or we're going to haunt you forever. I was like, haunt me forever? That doesn't sound too cool. So, and, you know, I honestly, at that point, I still was pushing it away, but I would be talking to one person, and there'd be spirit behind them trying to get my attention, and it would completely throw me off track, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Finally, it was about 2 in the morning, and this one spirit pops up in front of my TV, of course scaring the hell out of me, with his big handlebar mustache, and he says, you know what, it's time for you to learn. And he just had this stern look to him, and I said, you know what, I'm going to see what he's got to say. Now, you have to understand, I'm talking to somebody that nobody else sees. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. I go down to my basement, and he starts teaching me. And every night I went down to my basement, and him and other spirits were coming and teaching me. They were teaching me how to ground myself. They were teaching me how to see auras. They were teaching me how to cleanse auras, how to do readings. They were telling me, if you tell people what we tell you, we'll help you with your readings, okay? So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then they started teaching me how to do how to channel. And then I got into seances, which just kind of like took off for me. And I started doing seances all the time. Like the big Saturday night in my neighborhood was a seance at Chris's house. And it just started blowing up from there. And then from there, I learned how to do healing. Spirit came to me and taught me how to do healing, hands-on healing and just distant healing and different things like that.
All right, Chris, so we've done quite a few investigations lately.
Right.
We've captured many EVPs. They were all noted on our website, which is www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. Aside from our investigations, which we'll get to, is there any other particular stories that you'd like to mention? Like, for instance, I'd imagine, being a psychic medium, that you're constantly trying to prove yourself to people, and which is not easy, and it's like it's one of those things that, you know, seeing is believing is seeing, and some people believe it automatically, and some people need to see it to believe it.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a constant sense of proving yourself, whether you're giving a reading, whatever it is you're doing. I mean, I know personally that we have proof that is way beyond a shadow of a doubt, like the EVPs, like a lot of the videos, the pictures, and I'd say items that have occurred. But in terms of proving yourself, could we talk about that?
Yeah, I'll give you two quick stories. Well, one's a quick story, one's a little longer. I was doing a Sweet 16. This very rich family asked me to come and do readings at their daughter's Sweet 16. So I thought I was going to do about 10, 12 readings. They had like 60 kids there. And I was giving them reading after reading after reading. After 30 readings, I mean, I was psychically spent. This lady comes in. She was the mom of one of the kids, and she was there with two kids and her husband. And she was like, oh, how do I know you're for real? I don't believe in psychics. You're all a bunch of phonies. You're all a bunch of fakes. And now, mind you, this is after I had done well over 30 readings. I was not in the mood. I thought I'd been taken advantage of up to that point because I was only supposed to do about 10 readings. So, and this isn't only something that happens to me. I don't usually get things like this, but I looked at it and I said, how do you know I'm real? I said, how does December 16th, 1960 sound to you? She goes, oh, my God, that's my birthday. I said, yeah, no kidding. I said, that's how you know I'm real. I said, as a matter of fact, you know what? I think I'm done here tonight, and I left because I felt I was being very disrespected. That's one story. Another one, which is one of my favorites, my grandmother was in the hospital, and I went to go visit her. And on the way home, I took a route that I normally wouldn't take, and there wound up being a really bad accident. So I kind of got stuck in that accident, in that traffic, and I couldn't go anywhere. And before long, the spirit of the girl who had died was sitting next to me in my car. And I'm like, oh, God. I said, listen, you know what? There are better places for you to be. You don't need to be here with me. Go with your family. You know, they're going to be worried about you. You need to be with your family. I don't know if this is a spirit I'm talking to. And she tells me, I committed suicide, just like that. As she says that to me, cop walks by, and I look at him, and I said, suicide, huh? And as soon as I said that, I knew, you know what, Chris, you really just put your foot in your mouth. He goes, well, why would you say that? I said, and I kind of stuttered. He says, why don't you get out of the car a second, sir? I was like, oh, God, what did I do now? So I get out of the car, and he goes, well, why would you say it's a suicide? I said, no. He goes, no, why would you say it's a suicide? So he kind of put me on the spot. So I told him, I said, well, you know what? Some people kind of think I'm psychic, and the girl who committed suicide is actually sitting in my car with me right now. They were like, oh, really? Oh, okay. What does she look like? So I told them what she looked like. He goes, do you know her? I said, no, I have no idea who she is. I said, I don't even know what her name is. She hasn't told me her name. I said, but what she is telling me is that her cell phone is underneath the passenger seat, and she wants you to call mom. I said, no, how would I know that, you know, her cell phone is underneath the passenger seat? He goes, well, you wouldn't. I says, right, well, this is what she's telling me. This is how you could, you know if I'm full of baloney or not. Calls up a couple of his cop friends. They go and look, and lo and behold, they come back with a cell phone. And they call mom, and the mom and dad come rushing down. Now, what happens is, at this point, is now I have everybody around me. Because here I am, I'm the freak who knew that that there was a cell phone under the car seat. So the parents are like, well, what happened? And she starts telling me the story. She said that she was an Italian girl. She was dating a black guy. And her mom and dad were giving her a very hard time about, you know, interracial dating. She couldn't take it anymore, so she killed herself. Then she told me that there was a suicide note underneath her pillow in her house and that her sister should go and get it. They actually called the house. There was a suicide note underneath the pillow, and they confirmed it all. So after this, all the cops are around me, and they're like, oh, look, you know, he's Mr. Psychic, Mr. Psychic, especially this one cop who was really, really antagonizing me, calling me Mr. Psychic, calling me all these whatever, really trying to get me to do some psychic stuff out there. And I said, listen, I just want to go home. It's midnight. I just want to go home. He goes, no, tell me something, Mr. Psychic. Now, there's like 10 or 12 cops around and a couple firefighters. So his partner says, go ahead, man, tell him something. I was like, well, I could tell you anything. The cop says, yeah, tell me anything. So I tell him, well, your wife is having an affair with your best friend, the firefighter. I says, as a matter of fact, she's with him right now. He goes, what? I says, yeah, give her a call. I guarantee you she's at his house. He did. Obviously, he flipped out there, and I went on my merry way. 2 days later, he calls me up. I had to give him my business card. He calls me up 2 days later and asks me where I was. I didn't want to tell him. He says, please, tell me where you are. So I told him I was in Manhattan. The guy comes with his cop car and his partner, pulls up to me and says, how much do you charge for a reading? I told him. He hands me that amount of money and says, you know what, man, thanks a lot. You saved me a lot of misery. And he went on his way. So there's one story of where I had to prove myself. I didn't want to, but he kind of pushed my buttons, and that's what happened.
Okay, fair enough. We have quite a few people on the line here. I mentioned earlier Anna because I had mentioned she was online first. So I'm going to bring her on the line.
Okay.
We're going to give her a psychic greeting, and we'll go from there. Hi, Anna. Are you on the line?
I am on the line. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Hi,
I promised
Hi.
You.
Hi, yes,
you're with Chris
you.
And Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Chris.
How are you? So talk to me. What's your question?
I want to know if I will reunite with my boyfriend, Andrew.
Let me ask you something. How long have you been apart?
Just about. Maybe about a month.
You know what? It doesn't even matter. Don't even answer that question. Yes, you are going to get back with him. I think it's going to take a little bit of effort on your part to get over some things. What they are, I don't know, but I think it's going to be more on your part to get back.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me. Talk to me. What else you want to know?
Do you see this as a long term?
I do see it as a long term. Like I said, I think it's going to be a work in progress, though, and if it's worth it for you, it's going to happen. But like I said at the beginning of the show, there's something called free will. You
right.
have the free will to make it happen or not make it happen. I think it should happen. Okay, how about I put it to you that way?
Oh, thank you so much. Is he missing me?
You're very welcome. I think he's missing you more than you think.
Oh, good. Thank you.
That's always good to know, right?
Just to mention,
absolutely.
Anna is in New Jersey. Thanks for calling, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
And you can check us out on the website also.
Yeah, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com.
Oh, great. I most definitely will, and thank you so much for that encouraging information.
You
Fantastic.
Are so welcome, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, so let's talk about a few other items. Just throw it out there. I know you do psychic development classes.
Right.
If
you, I love them.
If you'd like to, I think we might have to have a whole show devoted to those, but if you want to just mention that and what transpires there and whatnot.
Well, in psychic development classes, I get a bunch of people together, and it's usually every 2 weeks. I do most of them in Staten Island and Manhattan. People get together, and I just work on their intuition. I let them know that that everybody does have psychic ability of some sort. It's up to me to figure out, you know, what their talents are, what their gifts are, and if they don't have gifts, teach them how to bring what every one of us has in us out. And up to now, I think it's been going fantastic. I see the people that are in the psychic development class we have going now. The strides that they've made are absolutely amazing. I mean, we have Alex, who actually the other day got the names of two people who passed away for a woman that he was giving a reading to. And he had never, ever done that before, and he actually got it. He did fantastic. And the aura readings, I mean, the people just, I mean, they're just getting so, so good at it. I love doing the classes.
All right. So in the classes, we discuss aura readings, energy readings, candle magic. We go into channeling, healing. There are many aspects to the classes, and each one could really be a class within itself.
Absolutely.
However, how you're developing it is a little bit over time and a little reinforcement over classes.
Right.
And people are getting better and stronger. And from what I know, you've had people actually, more senior people teach more junior people who join the class.
That's right. Well, what that does is, I mean, the people that have been in the class longer, what I do is to let them know that they're actually learning something. I start teaching something and I let them take over. And the newer people that are in the class are like, wow, is this what I could eventually do? It's reinforcing, re-encouraging to the person who has been in the class for quite some time, and it's just the same for the new person because they see what can be. And it's just very encouraging.
Fantastic. So recently we've done some investigations,
of
which has been Bailey Seaton. And we have some fantastic EVPs, which are on the website. And we also uploaded them tonight if we want to listen to them. But anyone could, at any time, could just go to the EVP tab to our website, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com, and check them out for themselves. And really, some of them sound so lifelike and so human-like that you can't even imagine that it's an electronic voice phenomena, which is what EVP stands for. But I did upload some, and we're going to talk about the investigation that was just recent at Bailey Seaton.
Right.
And then I'll play that, and we'll see how it sounds. I'm not really sure.
Well, before we play that, I think we should talk about how that all came about, that the Chi-Chi thing.
Sure, we can. From what I know and what we've done, we actually had dinner one night with the person that was going to get us into Bailey Seaton, all contact.
Right. This was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. We sat down at his restaurant, Trent's restaurant in Staten Island. I think, what is that, Highland and Nelson. And we sat down and we had a conversation with him. And out of nowhere, you had that whole vibe where you said, well, he said, the people who work there have this
a little boy
who wanders the hallways, who's haunting this place. And there's been many nurses and folks, I'd say security guards, that have noticed this. And Chris said, and he said it to me personally, let alone Mike, who we've spoken with, and said, his name is Cheech. And Mike and I looked at Chris like, okay, we'll see, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I get that look often.
Well, I could imagine. And that was that. And last week, we did go to Bailey Seaton. And earlier that day, we had a conversation in which you said to me, we're going to get an EVP from Cheech tonight.
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind about this.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that from speaking with you. And we just went from there. And we did go to Bailey Seaton, and Mike was there as well. as well as the paranormal team from Second Sight, us, and a number of other folks. So there was quite an audience, as well as videotaping, night vision, and this was all documented heavily, actually.
Heavily documented.
Yeah, and we got quite a bit of evidence.
You know, I look at a lot of these EVPs on YouTube, and they say Class A EVPs, and they're just really, I don't consider them to be real Class
A EVPs.
But
when we're getting such phenomenal evidence, our standards are becoming higher than...
Yeah, but you know what happens? We have a couple that are so lifelike that they almost sound fake, and when they happen, it's so bone-chilling that... I mean, the people that are there, everybody's mouths just drop. If you watch the video on our website, you'll see. And there's going to be more videos of that to come.
Wait, might I add, I also put it on YouTube under Second Sight NYC. You could see it on Facebook under Sec Sight Para, right? That's our tag on Facebook.
Correct.
For the paranormal group. It's available on also Second Sight NYC.web.com.
Yeah, anybody who watches this is going to absolutely be blown away.
Aside from the website and aside from YouTube and all these other, they have the videos, and then there's also an MP3 that I played that you can hear it, and then you could actually watch it occurring, which is a lot different than just someone playing something and saying, oh, this is what it is. There's a lot of documentation here. And then there's also photos as
the
well.
The photos are absolutely mind-boggling. When you see these photos, people, you are not going to believe your eyes. They are that amazing. Well, why don't we play the clip?
Yeah, actually...
We had gotten to the hospital, and we were inside the hospital, and I felt that we needed to go outside. And I started hearing Cheech call me, come outside. So we walked out into the woods. I said, this is where he is. And just to give everybody else some credit, everybody else started feeling all the energy exactly where we were. All right, we took a couple pictures. We got orbs in them right where we were standing outside. And, you know, it was, you could feel the energy starting to build. And I just had a feeling that something great was going to happen. And I hope that everybody else felt the same way. We asked the question, who is here that wants to talk to us? And this is what we got. There you go.
Speaks for itself, really.
You know, now, you have to understand, you know, we're outside. It's about 1 in the morning. It's pitch black. We're in the woods. The only light we had was the moon, which was pretty much being covered by the trees. And we had Larry taking some night vision. We had the clip that you see on YouTube and everything is just another camera that was off to the side. The main camera isn't even, we haven't even uploaded that yet. I can't wait to see what that's like. It's just bone chilling. To be there was amazing. It was a great, great moment in paranormal investigation. I believe one of the best ever. And I was so proud to be part of it.
I know, it really was fantastic.
The
video alone, if you watch the video, not only do you hear the audio, you actually see what transpired during that evening.
I think we should do another EVP. Why don't we do the one with the angry spirit? I kind of like that one. It's kind of scary.
Okay.
Before you play, this had happened. We were in the Kreischer Mansion in Staten Island, which is a very, very well-known haunted place. A lot of murders and whatnot, and just really a real spooky, crazy place. I could tell you stories about that that'll, you know, chill you to the bone. We asked if there was a spirit that wanted to talk to us, and this is what we got.
Okay.
Yeah, that was well, you know, you have to understand, we were in a basement with no lights on. It was a real spooky place. There were a lot of murders in this place and chopped up bodies that were found by the FBI and real crazy set of circumstances, you know, surrounding the place. And to get a spirit like that just screaming at you was, A couple people left after that, to tell you the truth. Not members of our team, mind you, but other people that were there.
Now, the other significant one, and I'll play this, and then we'll take some calls, but this one was actually at my own house, and we were talking to my spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Delia. And
how did you find that out, by the way?
From you.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, really?
A little bit of credit thrown to the...
Please. And we put on the EVP recorder, which is an IC Panasonic recorder.
Right.
The Rolls Royce.
The Rolls Royce of
It captured this, which I said, Delia, if you're here, say your name. Was quite significant. If you hear it, there's no beginning, no end. It's very out there, really.
Now, what I have to say is, imagine you're in your own home and you actually have a spirit giving you a message like that in your own home. It's kind of scary, to tell you the truth. I think it's refreshing. I think it's you feel comfortable knowing that your spirit guide is actually there talking to you. But on the other hand, I could see how it could be kind of scary.
Let's face it, Chris. It scares the hell out of people.
Yeah.
Actually, a few people hung up just listening to this because it is scary. It does exist. This is proof. We're not elaborating. I actually uploaded them myself from the recorder, from stuff we've captured. It's there. So, you know, that's my view. What's real is real, you know. So, okay. So, we wanted to mention a good friend of ours, Joyce Keller.
World-renowned psychic.
Not only is she a friend, she's a fantastic psychic. She is also on Block Talk Radio, as well as
AM 1240 WGBB.com. Actually, right after this show, at 10 o'clock, her show goes on. If you log into her website, it's AM 1240 WGBB.com, The Joyce Keller Show. She's an outstanding, outstanding psychic.
She also has The Joyce Keller Show on the Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. She has given us some good advice, and we've collectively sat and discussed many things, really,
right,
including these EVPs and everything else.
I've actually been a guest on her show 6 times so far. And it's always an honor to be on her show.
Fantastic. Okay, Chris. So, what else would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, you know, we gave an example of good messages. Of a bad message I've given somebody. Why don't I give an example of a good message? What do you think about that? Quick story.
Sure.
Years ago, I used to have vendors that worked out in Manhattan selling stuff in the street. And I was out there one day with my vendor, and a family from South Carolina, or no, I believe it was North Carolina, comes to my stand, and they were just nasty, nasty people. Now, I pride myself on being really nice. Most people would think I'm a nice person, especially, you know, while I'm working, I'm trying to make people feel comfortable and whatnot. These women were so nasty that I just wanted them to leave. They had a little girl. I don't remember what her name was. It was something like Anna or something like that. I don't remember what her name was. But she was being really, really sweet, trying to talk to me. The mother says, "Don't talk to him." I was like, what a rude... I don't want to say what I really said, but she was really rude. So they start walking away. And as they start walking away, I start getting a message. And I tell the little girl, I said, "Your dad just passed away?" She looks at me. She goes, "How did you know that?" And I says, well, you know, the same answer I always give is, you know, some people say I'm kind of psychic. She says, "Yeah, he passed away recently." I said, "Well, he wants you to know that he's very proud of you, and he's glad that you took after him and you know, not your mom." But I wanted to give her something more. I felt like she, you know, anybody could have said that to her, you know. And I was kind of feeling down on what I was saying to her because I really wanted to give her something to encourage her, you know. So she says, "Well, thank you." Now, mind you, her family is about, I don't know, 20 yards away. They don't even know that she's back there with me still. So as she starts walking towards her mom and whoever those other women were, I get the message. And I says, okay. I says, hey, sweetie. And she turns around, and as she looks at me, I said, be good, Lolly. Lolly obviously was a nickname that her dad used to call her. She goes, Oh my God, you really are speaking to my dad. That's what he used to say every day before he went to work. And she ran to me, she gave me a big hug. She says, thank you so much. Tell my dad I love him. I says, no, you tell your dad you love him because he hears you every single time you say it. She gave me this big smile. And again, her family is now like 30 yards away. Didn't even know she was back there with me. And she just took off to her family. And I just felt so good. I felt like I gave that little girl a gift. And it just made me feel really, really good. I have so many stories like that. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Another story, my dad was very sick. He'd had an open heart surgery, and he was in a coma afterwards. He couldn't wake up, and I was getting ready to do my first psychic and healing retreat in Pennsylvania. My dad was my biggest fan. He could not say enough good things about me, to the point where I was embarrassed to be around him because he would say so many things about me that it was really just embarrassing. Needless to say, I wish he was here today, still embarrassing me, but he's not in the physical. Before he passed, he was so proud of the fact that I was getting ready to do my first retreat. People were coming in from all over to spend 3 days with me, and you know, he was just so proud of that. He told everybody that he could think of. Well, needless to say, the weekend that I was set to go, my dad was in a coma, and he was pretty bad. And I would say, I didn't really tell my family this because there are certain things I just won't say, I guess, and my family was really holding on to the fact that he was going to pull through, and so was I. But he basically told me that he was going to pass when I was away. I knew he was going to pass when I was away, but he wouldn't pass before that because he knew that I would not go to that retreat. And that's what he wanted for me more than anything, to be there and showing people what I could do. He always wanted me to amaze people. His words to me were, be amazing tonight. So I was there, and it was Saturday, and I was just getting ready to really start doing my stuff that I was supposed to do when I got the call from my brother. And I knew. You want to know how I knew? Because as that phone rang, my father was standing right next to me. I answered the phone crying. And I said, I know, Danny, I know. He's here with me now. I know he passed. And it was a very, very, very hard thing for me to deal with. But, again, I knew he was going to pass. So everybody, all these people on this retreat were, like, being very, very supportive to me. And they told me, Chris, you know, we would understand if you wanted to go home. You know, don't worry about it. And I was like, for a second, I thought about it. And my father looked at me. He said, are you crazy? He goes, these people came here for you. They want you. They want to be amazed. You go out there and be amazing. I said, well, how do I do that? How do I do that under these circumstances? And he says, you do what you do every day of your life, and you will amaze them. He goes, don't worry. I'm here with you. I will help you. Well, I'm here to tell you today that Saturday was probably the best I've ever been. I did a healing circle that had everybody there crying, afterwards telling me it was the best healing circle they'd ever been to. I did a seance at midnight with a bonfire out in the middle of the woods that to this day I believe is the best I've ever done. I taught aura classes. I taught channeling classes. I was on fire. And I'm here. I don't think I could have done that without the support of my dad. And he was there in spirit. And he just helped me through everything. So that's just another story I wanted to share with you guys. To this day, I think about it, and this really makes me miss him a lot.
Okay, on a different note, I just wanted to talk about...
I didn't mean to bring everybody down.
No, we appreciate it. However, I was thinking about all our investigations, and I was thinking about all the equipment we use and all the stuff we do to capture what we do indeed capture.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I was thinking about the EMF process, which
right.
is usually a standard detector.
Right.
And I wanted you to elaborate on it. I want you to explain what it is, how it works, and how it works in terms of you particularly.
Okay. How it works. It's an EMF meter. It's an electromagnetic force meter. It measures electricity, basically. So if you take the probe part of it and go by a lamp, it's going to beep. Okay? If you're in the middle of the room with no electricity, it's not going to beep. Ghost hunters use that to try and find spirit, because spirit is energy. And a lot of times, now only if spirit wants, mind you, if you're in spirit and they want to let you know that they're there, that meter will quite possibly go off. What I found is spirit kind of gave me a gift. I was on the Maury Povich show, and basically spirit told me, okay, we're going to give you a gift today. And what it did was they told me to hold the probe in my hand and ask questions with yeses and nos, with beeps, ask it to beep a certain amount of times. Spirit would come through me and I guess put like a pulse, an electronic pulse in my hand and make the meter go off to answer our questions. And the people on the Maury show were like, nah, this can't be. This has got to be some kind of joke. This has got to be some kind of trick. So I said, I don't know how I'm doing it, but why don't you guys try it? And about 7 or 8 people tried it and nobody could do it. And I was like, wow, spirit really did give me a gift. So this is a method that I don't have a name for it yet, but we've been using it in our investigations. And then when we do follow-up investigating on what we found out, it's usually pretty much on the money. It's kind of amazing. Maybe you can give an example of what we've done with it.
Like particularly in my house?
Go ahead, whatever you like.
How I got used to this or became known to it was you took me to some folks' house who were experiencing problems, and we used this. And at that time, I was sort of
a non-believer,
or I was. And we had left there, and I was a little, I'd say, perplexed by what had happened, and I had many questions. And I don't believe things until I experience them. So what I did say was, okay, take all this stuff and bring it in my house. And that's what you had done. And we had gone in my basement, I believe, and I said to you, okay, what are we doing? And you had said, there's a spirit here. If you're here, beep twice, and it beeped twice. And I think at that point, I ran up the stairs.
Yeah, you did. You ran up the stairs.
And then, after that, the floodgates opened where I said, if you're here, beep 3 times. If you hear my voice, beep once. If you're this, if you're that. And I actually questioned this to the highest extent possible.
She actually asked, what's the square root of 81?
Yeah.
It beeped 9 times.
Yeah, I actually took it to a scientific method because that's what I would do. And at that point, I did believe that, you know, you left it with me,
but then
I tried it alone, and it does not work. So,
right. Well, you know, let me say, I never pushed any of this on you. I just kind of said, okay, if you're going to believe, you're going to believe. If you're not going to believe, you're not going to believe. But I'm going to do what I do, and if you don't believe, then there's something wrong with you, girl.
But I still take it to the highest extent, including even these EVPs. I say it's not good enough to have a grunt. I actually want a name, and I keep pushing it. And even the night with Cheech, 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 we heard something earlier that I said, it's not good enough.
It was a Cheech. It was a plain
that
Cheech.
Whatever.
You were the only one who said that. Everybody
I don't care. I wanted it to sound proper, and it did. Eventually, it actually said it 3 times, which was fantastic. That is the kind of evidence I appreciate. I will not settle for less.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay, actually, we have someone on the line who was there that night, and I'm going to bring them on the line. It's Alex and Beatrice. Beatrice and Alex, we're going to put you on the line.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys, what's up?
We were just talking about the whole Cheech episode, and we would just like some insight because you were there in the woods with us.
Let me just say, these are 2 members of the elite paranormal group, Second Sight Paranormal.
It was incredible. You called it a couple weeks before, and we went out. like you said, to the front of the hospital. You all felt the energy of the spirit there, and you started asking for the name, and there he said, Cheech, 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 three times in a row.
And what was everybody, because there were a lot of people there, and what was their reaction when that happened?
Oh, forget it. They were blown away. I was blown away. We were all blown away.
Well, the video shows that as well.
Oh, yeah. And we, you know.
I actually did the paranormal shuffle after that.
Yeah, paranormal shuffle.
I really got to stop doing that, but I can't.
I think
so
it's
excited.
Like a body churn thing or something.
I just get so excited. I can't believe that, you know, because I know I'm hearing it in my head, and then to actually get it like that, it just never gets old. I mean, it just blows me away every time, and I have to dance.
Other than the Cheech episode, Alex, what else could you say about the investigation at Bailey Seaton?
Well, this time I really enjoyed it because there was less people, so we were able to break off in groups and we're really able to feel the energies of spirit, and we got some awesome pictures, too. When you see
oh,
the face.
Oh, my God, those pictures are crazy.
We really did. I mean, I think 90 out of 96 that I've took had phenomenal orbs in them as well. Just to mention, some of the orbs are behind furniture, which proves that they are not the lens or dirt or anything to do with the camera. They actually show that they're there and they're behind something. I think I can't think what number photo it was, but there was one particular one that's fantastic, and it has a whole shape and pattern inside it.
There's one that's covering almost my whole body.
Yeah, there's one also there, and then there's the one outside the window that...
Right, that's ridiculous.
Shows.
But I see the best one, you guys won't even notice because you have to blow it up to really see it. There's one where in the background, if you blow it up, there's a full face, a full-on face staring at us. And then the next one, it's the same face but looking sideways with a whole head of hair. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to have to edit those and put circles around it and
yeah.
arrows and do all that. And it's just really, it's a lot of work, but they exist. Alex, I showed you those the other day, didn't I?
Oh, forget it. You see, it looks like a spirit is behind up in the rafters and just hanging out and just checking us out and looking what we were doing.
Right, in a place line. That even a person couldn't stand because, it's like you said, it's up in the rafters. And I took a couple before that one that shows the complete pipe with nothing, and then I took that one that all of a sudden there's a complete face there that you know it's not a person, they're not standing there, and you also know it wasn't there a moment ago. So I think we were doing EVPs at that moment. It could
yes,
be one of these.
We were.
Pretty fantastic stuff.
Just to give Alex a little bit of credit, earlier I was talking about psychic development classes. Alex is actually the one who got the two names. You know, I was really proud of you that night because that was the first time you really just did your thing, and you did really, really great, man.
Well, it helps me have a great teacher like yourself, and you know? I recommend anybody.
Oh,
show
oh
to
flattery.
Down to the
everyday, you know
what.
You're making me blush, Alex. You're making me blush.
I think you just did. Well, we appreciate you being online and having a chat and telling it like it is, for that matter.
That's right. Nope. Well, you know what? You know what I'd like to do, Alex? We're going to say goodbye to you now, and thank you for calling in. I want to do the Kwame because that happened on the first investigation.
Actually, let Alex intro the Kwame, and then
we'll
get off the line with Alex. Alex, I'm going to play that.
Uh-huh.
So just tell us how that transpired.
Well, we were in one of the rooms, which I forgot which room, on the fourth floor in the OR of Old Bailey Seaton. And Chris says, I'm getting the name Kwame. I don't know if he's a patient or they worked here. So he asked on, he played back the EVP and you hear Kwame clearly.
Okay.
Everybody really flipped with that one.
Flip right now, folks. All right, thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you
right,
soon.
Good night.
And I'm going to play Kwame as well. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, here's Kwame.
That is so good. I remember.
It actually makes my hair stand
you know,
on end.
The best part about that is I'm saying Kwame, Kwame. And mind you, we have this on video, me walking down the hallway saying, I hear the name Kwame. I wasn't even sure that was a real name, and everybody's looking at me, Kwame, are you crazy? Again, something I get often, and I'm like, maybe I am crazy, but I am hearing clearly the name Kwame. And next thing you know, we did that EVP, and we got it, and that was the night there was like 20 people there. I think 20 people's mouths just dropped in. They just couldn't believe it. They were, like, stunned.
That's also on night vision and cameras,
right,
and documented as
right.
well.
Right, all documented.
We need to put that online when we can, just to reinforce the whole Kwame thing. It's so lifelike and realistic that it makes it hard to believe.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing that night.
Okay, I'm going to put someone on the line. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, you're with Chris George and Stephanie Benetti?
Yes, it's Glitch.
Hi. Hi, Glitch.
Glitch is another one of my psychic development students who's coming a very, very long way. He actually had a little bit of darkness around him, and we've been working on him, and he's been working on himself, and my little Glitch friend is really in the light right now.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm really happy.
Wait, you're considered the Glitch friend.
Is there anything? What did you call for Glitch?
I wanted to know.
With GameStop.
Yes.
GameStop?
Yes. I wanted
to
know.
What do you want to ask?
I wanted to know if I was getting a job at GameStop.
Oh, geez. You know I don't like to read friends, Glitch.
Yeah, I know.
You put me on the spot. honestly, I don't think you're going to get that job, and I feel horrible to tell you that, but don't worry about it, because within the month you'll be working. I don't know where. I just don't believe it's going to be a GameStop, and I hate telling you that because you are my friend, but I wouldn't worry about it too much, because like I said, within a month you'll have a job. All right? And you know I'm usually right.
Yes.
Okay, Glitch. I will see you at the psychic development class.
All right.
Thank you for calling in.
Bye, Glitch.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. So we've had quite a few friends of ours tonight.
Yeah.
Also, hopefully we're going to have some good friends of ours as guests in the future, like Joyce Keller, just to come on board, have a chat.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot of good friends on the show, I'm sure. And our list of good friends is growing.
Hello? You're on the line. Hello?
Hi. Oh, it's Leo.
Who am I speaking with?
Leo.
Leo. Oh, Leo.
I didn't realize I was on the line.
This is the angel.
You are? 347, you're on the line. Hi, Leo.
So how's everything? You guys are doing a great job today. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you.
You're on the air, so talk to us.
Well,
you know what,
Chris?
I have a question for you, Leo.
Well,
the last night with Billy Seaton, what stood out for you the most that night? I mean, I kind of know what it is, but I want you to bring it up.
Billy Seaton? I mean, there's a lot of different events that happened, though. What I enjoy doing is passing people into the light.
Right, and you do a great job of it.
Yeah, you did a great job too. You were able to channel a spirit, a little boy. He was 8 years old. I don't remember his name. Roy?
His name was Cheech, and we played that earlier.
No, that was Rosario.
Yeah.
Cheech never came through because I guess he didn't know what we were doing, or we didn't call him. Maybe he was actually waiting for us to give him permission to come. But you channeled Rosario. He turned out to be an 8-year-old boy. He was very, very afraid. And he didn't want to tell us his story. And we took the opportunity to pass him into the light. And he told us that there were many other children there. Hundreds of them, possibly. I don't know how many, but there was a large number of them. So what we did was we formed a circle, everyone that was there, and I instructed everybody to pretend there is a, or put the intention out there that there's a cruise ship in the middle of this. with a lot of games and lights and toys and all kinds of fun stuff to attract the other children that were caught in the other dimension that never went into the light. So once we did that, the children started coming, and Larry actually heard little children talking while we were doing this.
Yeah, Larry, let me just let people know that Larry is a phenomenal cameraman, and I give him big, big ups because he does a phenomenal job.
Big ups. That
big
goes
ups.
Also with some physical to the sky.
That's
camera.
Right. God, I'm sorry, Leo.
So what happened was we to make a long story short, we passed 100 or 200 children into the light that night.
Yeah, and it was pretty powerful.
The NJ was intense. It was powerful. People felt it. They
hey, you actually said that you thought you saw what did you say? Something about my eyes?
Oh, I think you have beautiful eyes. No, when I was looking at
Leo, people are going to get the wrong idea about
what
me.
What a guy. We know
Wait.
Him for what he is.
while you were channeling, it appeared like sparkles were coming out of your eyes. Like your eyes lit up. But very, a quarter of an inch wide, was just like a very light, narrow dot. But it was bright. It like a very, very bright light in both eyes, not just one. And it happened
really?
Several times. So that was awesome. I don't know if they caught that on film. But that
well,
was awesome.
We're going to find out because it was videotaped. And Larry put it on DVD today. He's sending it out to me tomorrow. So I'll be able to look at all the evidence and check it all out.
Which will go on to the website, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. We'll have all those videos as well as the pictures and EVPs and all the documentation and evidence will be uploaded as well.
And I just want to mention, if anybody is looking for readings, I mean, that's also on the website. Everything that is offered is on the website, readings, healing, seances, psychic development classes, exorcisms, which is a big part of what I do. That's something probably for another show because it's such a big topic.
Well, we have many topics. I think we're one topic or one episode will discuss the exorcisms. Another episode will probably discuss something that most people who are in tune to this think of, like fake psychics and whatnot.
Right. Oh, yeah, I have a lot to say about that.
I know you do. And we have many topics, really. I mean, there is the psychic readings that you give. That should be another show.
Right.
And healing would be another one.
Healing is something I love. And might I add, Leo is like a partner of mine with the healing.
Yeah.
We do channeled healing circles together.
Leo
that is just
a phenomenal healer.
Really, really good.
Yeah, so we'll have Leo on when we have that episode. But
do we have to really have him on? Can we just
Well, we have him on now, and
oh,
we kind of didn't even ask for it. Thanks, Leo, for talking with us. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Leo.
Well, we've had many of our friends on tonight, which I'm glad. They thought enough to come on board and have a chat.
Yeah,
next episode we'll have more psychic readings, which I think there was so much to talk about tonight that we didn't even get to it.
Right.
We have about 5-6 minutes left to the show. Is there anything else you want to...
There's a couple more EVPs that we haven't played that we could play for the people, maybe tell them the little story behind each one. Why don't we do...
I think just in terms of, I know it's not unfamiliar to us, but to other people, I'm just going to read what an EVP is.
All right.
It stands for electronic voice phenomena, and their voice is detected in electronic devices that cannot currently be explained with known physical principles. The voices typically constitute short utterances of a few words, often in direct responses to questions or comments about occurrences in this environment. Reports of these voices have involved virtually every known technology that is capable of supporting human voice. EVPs are usually recorded using audio recording devices or audio recording computer software. In their basic form, EVPs are heard not heard at the time of recording, but they're heard at playback. And that's, most people don't know that, but that's actually what that stands for. So We'll play one that we haven't played before, and this one in particular, I think, stays true to us. This one is I Really Love You, I Need You. That one is not as distinct as our other EVPs, but that's normally what people consider Class A.
Right.
I think, really, our standards have gotten so high that the ones we do have are like A++++.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
That we're expecting so much more, but that's normally a Class A, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
And the other that we haven't played, I think, was Frank. And I think what you say is, what is your name?
Tell me your name. Thank you.
That's great.
Somebody said that's great in the background. That's the difference between a voice and
caption. That was good. That was good. So what else are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Why don't we tell another story?
It's up to you.
You know, this is story time with Christopher George. Another story.
Well, we got time for one more, and then we have to call goodnight.
Well, it's over already? Okay, one time I was doing a seance, and I had just started channeling a healer named Raj, who was a healer from India. This Raj comes through very, very powerfully. Every time I channel Raj, Dr. Raj, when people take pictures of me, I'm always like a reddish-orange color. It looks like a huge aura is around me. Everything is being pulled. Like maybe people are normal in the picture, and then my energy is being pulled either to the left or to the right. Actually, on our website, you'll see a picture of me channeling Dr. Raj, and you'll actually see him staring at me.
He's actually, it's a fantastic picture. It is under the photos tab, and I believe it's under the miscellaneous paranormal. And when you look at this Dr. Raj photo, you'll literally see a face beside you.
A whole body.
Mostly the face, though. But in the neck of that face, you actually see another face, which is something I noticed that you and
right,
the fans
I've
never
noticed it.
It's a fantastic picture, and that really kind of backs up.
Yeah. You know, I'm the type of psychic, you know, a lot of psychic mediums that do seances, and I really don't believe most of them are doing real seances. I think they do psychic circles or message circles. When I do a seance, I actually become the spirit, and they say that you shouldn't take pictures of the medium when he's with spirit. It could kill him. It could do this to him. That's a bunch of baloney. Anybody who says that, you know what? You're probably with a fake psychic. That's a bunch of baloney. I've had pictures taken of me when I was channeling that, I mean, you'll see them on the website. They're ridiculous. And I just want to tell you guys one more quick thing. They did a documentary on me, and we got to go.
Well, we have, like, less than a minute. You don't have time for your story. I just wanted to tell everyone that to find out more information about Chris, go to www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. You can pretty much find out a bio or any other further information. And just to talk about next show, we're going to have a variety of paranormal subjects, as well as we're going to try to get some teams on to discuss investigations with us. We wanted to say
may the spirits guide you.
And thank you and good night.